So nothing lasts forever, right? Nothing lasts forever. Are these words of comfort? Words of hope? Nothing lasts forever. Or could they be words of warning? Words of worry? Nothing lasts forever. Parents holding their newborn after hours of struggle, days of stressing, weeks of waiting, months of hoping, and years of yearning. And in those newborn precious moments, they experience the poignancy of the truth that nothing lasts forever. Depending on where you are, these words have dramatically different meanings for our lives. Heading into a course of chemo and radiation, good news, it won't last forever. Grateful for maternity and paternity leave, sad news, it won't last forever. Pressure building at work and shifting sands of new bosses and upper management, hopeful news, this can't last forever. Sitting bedside in the nursing home, bittersweet news, this won't last forever. Détente between siblings has been reached as the family gathers around the Thanksgiving and the Christmas table, yay! But it won't last forever because then someone will make a comment about the outcome of the election and everyone is not on the same page. But that's okay because you will call on your mature grown-up self and remind yourself that family gatherings like this don't last forever. And you'll speak kindly or you'll stay out of it or even help to keep the peace. It can be a comfort or a concern that nothing lasts forever. Well, nearly 2,800 years ago, the prophet Isaiah watched while his nation eroded before his eyes under the leadership of King Ahaz. Not a very good king. And it resulted in the Assyrians conquering them and then deporting them to Babylon. And so they looked for a king who would come with a royal rule of justice and righteousness for them. During this time, the people of Israel were placed under the burden of forced labor. They were truly oppressed, both economically and personally, in that they were forced into slavery and deprived the ability to worship God in their own land. Some were forced to worship the Assyrian gods. Others were so influenced by the non-Jews that lived around them that they had fallen away from their own traditions and their own faith. Well, all of this situation created a darkness of the soul. The people are walking in darkness because living without God is darkness. In fact, the expression, the deep darkness that Isaiah talks about, it's the same word that comes in Psalm 23 when we talk about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That shadow of death word is the same word as the deep darkness word. But all these burdens will be removed because nothing lasts forever. Light will come to the darkness. The fears and the futility, the bondage, the guilt, all of that will be taken away. Joy in God will overtake those who previously had resisted and rebelled against God. For unto us a child is born. That's a burst of energetic faith exploding in the midst of the hard realities of a people who had turned their faces away from God, who had rescued and saved them again and again. The light that was shining on the people was not just a symbol of life and salvation and joy, but the very presence of God among his people, even when they were in the deep darkness. And the reason for the great joy among the people was the birth of a child. And remember, Isaiah wrote this more than 700 years before Jesus was born. So the reference to the son being born is a reference actually to the enthronement of a new king at the time, probably Hezekiah. And they believed that when a descendant of King David, Hezekiah, arrived on the throne, that that was the day that the king would become the son of God by adoption. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as we know, names in the Bible are extremely important, as they not only convey who you are, but also they say something about your character. Wonderful Counselor expresses the wisdom required of the king to guide and direct his people. Mighty God is the power and the fullness of God the King needed to defend and protect his people. Everlasting Father refers to the King as the one who will guide his people with fatherly love in the same way that God loves and cares for his people. And Prince of Peace reflects the King as the one who brought wholeness and healing to everyone, leading them to find their destiny and their fullness in God. These titles given to the new king are the ideals which any son of David is expected to achieve. However, no human king ever attained those high ideals. So those names and titles were taken from the human king and transferred to a future king of Israel, God's anointed one, Jesus Christ. The Cathedral of Chartres in France is a spectacular building. It was built in the 12th century. And it has this stunning stained glass window. The Rose Window of Chartres is one of the famous stained glass windows of the world. Well, right below the big rose window are four tall, thin stained glass windows. And these are each depicting the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, which is typical. The gospel writers are in a lot of stained glass windows in a lot of churches. But what is so different about Chartres is that they're doing some gymnastics move in that these evangelists are truly sitting on the shoulders of four other people. Like, really, it looks like you would hold your child sitting there, the legs down, the arms holding on to the feet, hands on the head, like you do when you've got someone on your shoulders, certainly an adult on your shoulders. That's what these stained glass windows from the 12th century have on them. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are sitting on the shoulders of the four great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. And like any good stained glass window should, these windows preach. And the message is that the evangelists are possible only with the prophets who came before them. And for Christians, the prophets prepare us for Jesus. The promises of Isaiah proclaim a Messiah who rules God's kingdom without ruling over an earthly or political entity, as one who rules in servanthood and suffering. So this week, we have Jesus as Everlasting Father. And some translate that word actually as Forever Father. Well, this child will be a father to us in the best of ways, loving, self-sacrificing, always looking out for our best. As it says elsewhere in the Bible, in the Psalm, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Compassion from this king will never come to an end. And so, the forever father, everlasting father. It's also interesting to note that the Hebrew word for father there means the originator of, the author of. So it's the one who creates, who causes. It's as if Isaiah is saying, the father of that which is everlasting, which is eternal, which started it all. In this way, Jesus and God create eternity and then bring eternity to earth. And not only is God eternal, but in Jesus Christ, eternity entered time and place. When Jesus was born, he brought together time and eternity. There are two kinds of time in the Bible. One is chronos, from which we get chronology, and that's just the counting of time, linear time. And that's our calendars and our clocks. And then there's what's called kairos time. That word is spelled K-A-I-R-O-S. Maybe you've seen that. It's quite a churchy word. Kairos time, though, is event time. That's how you know where you were when you heard that Kennedy had been shot. Kairos. You know where you were when the planes hit the towers on 9/11. Kairos. You know where you were when you heard about the death of your friend or family member. Those are kairos times. So the birth of Jesus is eternity entering time. Kairos is now hitting chronos, and we mark time. So our Father forever, our everlasting Father enters time, and then as his offspring, in that God created us and all people, he is then our source, our provider, our protector. He brought the whole world into being. He brought us into being. And so he sustains our lives now. He fulfills his role as our heavenly Father, loving us, supporting us, sustaining us, comforting us, providing for us. And so in this way, Jesus Christ is, as it says in Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the same. His everlasting, eternal nature assures us that no matter how things in the culture are going, how things in life, how things in our families might be changing, Jesus Christ does not change. His promises remain. His mercy, his grace, his forgiveness don't change. His character never changes. Think about the story of the prodigal son, the boy who got his father's inheritance before his father had died, and then he went off and everything went bad and wrong, and he is destitute, and he doesn't know where to turn. He doesn't know where to go. And so he says, I will return to my father. Maybe he was banking on the character of his father to be loving and merciful. We don't know, but we do know at the least the prodigal son knew his father would receive him. And even if he was not expecting his father to be forgiving, he might have been worried that his father would be mad. We know that his father is going to be forgiving and merciful. We know that his father is going to receive him with love and joy. Because that's how God is, and that's how God will always be. And when we know in our minds that Jesus is our forever Father, we can rely on him. So we can rely on Jesus in our minds even when our hearts don't feel him. And who knows? We may begin then to see that he is born in more places than in the manger in a stable 2,000 years ago. Because something does last forever. Our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are forever. This is good news, to be sure. Amen.